Take your Bibles, please, and turn in them to the book of Jeremiah, the fifth chapter. Page 777 in your Scofield Bible. Jeremiah chapter 5, and we'll be reading the first five verses. And the text verse for this morning's message is the fifth verse. We'll read the verses responsively, and shall we please all stand for the reading of the Word of God. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish. For they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. And we'll read together the text verse. I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this Bible. Thank you that we're privileged to possess copies of thy word, and it's a wonderful thing. We don't think about it as often as we should, but how privileged we are. And thank you for a church where the Bible is believed, taught, and preached. Thank you for a preacher who leads the things of the church here, and how we praise thee for a real man of God. We pray that you'd bless this service in the way that thou wouldst choose to bless. And of course, that means we surely ought to be attentive as thy word is preached. Help it to be so, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll ask you to listen to me very carefully this morning. This is a special day for me. 35 years ago this morning, I preached behind the pulpit of First Baptist Church of Hammond for the first time. Don't get your hopes up, folks. Don't get your hopes up. The wicked never die young. But I, for the first time, 35 years ago, the last Sunday of July, 1959, a young 32-year-old man with a 30-year-old wife who was about 6 months pregnant with that little girl back there, stood for the first time behind this pulpit. It wasn't me. It wasn't like me. It was so different. My predecessor was a godly man, a good man, but a very formal type man, much like I am. He preached in scissor-tail coat and striped pants. The church would not allow a piano on Sunday morning. The piano was too undignified, just an organ on Sunday morning. The church had no congregational song leader on Sunday morning. That was too undignified. Piano Sunday night, song leader Sunday night, but the big pipe organ, that's the, my magnificent pipe organ. That's the one that's got all the mufflers up here behind. You've seen them. And it led the singing on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, no songs, no gospel songs on Sunday morning. That was for Sunday night. Sunday morning, songs of the church and the anthems with the choir. And I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you, it was so different from me. And I was just a young preacher. And these years, my soul, how blessed they've been. 35 years ago, I candidated in this church. I wasn't running. I didn't want to come. God had to knock me down and drag me up here. In those days, I didn't like Yankees. I love Yankees now because they feed me. But I love anybody that feeds me, I believe, for sure. But I want to, this is not an anniversary sermon at all, but I thought of the verse I'm going to preach from this morning. You see, I've pastored 35 years the greatest people I've ever met. I believe with all of my heart that the greatest collection of Christians in one room that ever assembles in this world, assembles in this room every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I want to speak this morning from that little text we read a while ago. I'll read it for you again. You need not turn to it. I'll just quote it. Jeremiah said, I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord. I'm not going to preach a bombastic sermon this morning. I'm going to speak on that subject. I will get me unto the great men. Our Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing to my people. That's all I've wanted for 35 years. From being a young man to being a senior citizen. From just beginning to pay Social Security to being eligible for it. From a young man with little children to an old man with married granddaughter. These have been such blessed years. Bless us this morning as I try once again to give the people I love the most what they need. In Jesus' name, amen. How wise was Jeremiah? Turn me up just a bit, please. How wise was Jeremiah? He said, I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them. Why? Why get unto the great men? It says, for because they have known the way of the Lord. Please look at me and do not take notes while I'm preaching. Look at me. He said, I will get me unto the great men. He did not say, I'll get me unto the powerful men. He did not say, I will get me unto the men who are leaders. He did not say, I will get me to the popular men. He did not say, I will get thee me unto the famous men. He did not say, I will get me unto the wealthy men. He did not say, I will get me unto the personality men. He did not say, I will get me unto the educated men. He said, Brother Randy, would you get that boy up there that's in the balcony that's not supposed to be up there? And would you have him just leave right quickly, please? He's running around up there misbehaving. He said, I will get thee, me, unto the great men. Now, who are the great men? Are you listening? Who are the great men? God carefully rations this word when he describes people. You check the word, the term great men in the Bible, and you'll be surprised how few men are called great by God. Now, you and I would call them great, but how few men God calls great in the Bible. Let me give you a few. One is a man named Barzillai. Who in the world is Barzillai? God says Barzillai was a very great man. Now, Barzillai, who was he? Barzillai was 80 years of age. When David had left the throne and gone to Mahanaim, because his son Absalom had rebelled against his father, gathered an army, and started war, a revolution, to take over the throne. David was in Mahanaim. It was the darkest hour of his life. Can you imagine your own son fighting in battle against your forces? In the darkest hour of his life, an old man, 80 years of age, whose name was Barzillai, came to David. And the Bible says that he brought to David, while David was homeless there, and while his men likewise were homeless, Barzillai brought beds, basins, wheat, barley, flour, corn, beans, lentils, pulse, honey, butter, sheep, and cheese. He brought these to David, an 80-year-old man,
That's all we have in the Bible about him.
We don't. He sat on no throne. He had no great title. He led no nation. He wore no robe. His hands held no scepter. His head wore no crown. He had no subjects. He generaled no army. He led no nation. He won no laurels. He was victorious in no battles. He wore no garlands. He never stood behind a pulpit. He never built a great church. All we have recorded in the entire Bible about this man is that he brought beds and wheat and barley and beans and corn and flour and cheese and so forth undated. Now, basically, what we're saying is this man was a servant. And God said this was a great man. This man felled no Goliath. This man crossed no Red Sea on dry ground. This man caused no sun to stand still. This man led no army in victory over the Philistines. This man did not sleep in a lion's den without being hurt. This man did not walk in the fiery furnace without even the hair of his head being singed. This man was called by God a great man. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that great men are men who are servants. My Bible says in Matthew chapter 22, my Savior said that the servant is the greatest of all. Oh, listen, the great person here this morning is not the one who served, but the one who serves. The great person here this morning is not the one who leads, but the one who follows. The great person this morning is not the one who marshals great forces, but the obeyers who are in those forces. You say, I don't believe that. Take it up with Jesus. He's the one that said it. He said the servant is the greatest of all. Now, Barzillai was called a very great man. Hold it now. Let's go back to what we're talking about. Jeremiah said, I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord. Then, of whom was Jeremiah talking? Was he talking of a king on a throne? No, but a servant. Was he talking of a general of an army? No, he was talking about a servant. Because God, the same God that used the word great concerning him getting the great men, that same God's the one that called Barzillai a very great man. Just a servant. That's all he was. Just a servant. There's another person in the Bible that's called a great person. It's the Shunammite woman. Now, who in the world is the Shunammite woman? Her name is not even given. We don't know what her name was. But God says she was a great woman. Now, what did she do? I'll tell you exactly all she did. She built a little lean-to on the side or back of her house for the man of God, Elisha. And every time Elisha came through, he stayed at their house. And she fed him okra and turnip greens and squash and black-eyed peas. It was the first Cracker Barrel ever invented. And she served the man of God. Now, wait a minute. God calls her a great woman. Now, you listen to me carefully. Some of the greatest women in this world are sitting in this room this morning who have never done anything that the world calls great. But they are servants. This woman was a servant. And God says she's great. Now, Jeremiah, what kind of a person are you going to go to? Jeremiah said, I'm going to go to the great men, and I'm going to speak with them and get counsel from them, for they have known the way of the Lord. Now, Jeremiah, who are these great men? Well, God said Barzillai was a great man, so Jeremiah said, I'm going to go to the servants. I'm not going to go to those who sit on the throne, but those who serve those on the throne. I'm not going to go to those who wield the scepter, but those who are under the command of the scepter. Let me tell you this morning, God does not see greatness like we see greatness. God does not think that William Clinton is a great man. He dead sure doesn't think that Hillary is a great woman. And he and I agree totally on that. I'm simply saying, Jeremiah, hey, wait a minute now. Jeremiah is a prophet. Jeremiah wrote a book in the Bible. Jeremiah was a great preacher. Jeremiah was a pre-captivity and captivity prophet. And Jeremiah said, I'm going to go talk to the great men. Well, Jeremiah, Who are you? What king are you going to talk to? I'm not going to talk to a king. Or what general are you going to talk to? I'm not going to talk to a general. Jeremiah said, I'll talk to the great men, which meant that Jeremiah talked to the servants. The Shunammite woman was no queen. She carried not the Christ child in her womb, or even John the Baptist. She saw no risen Christ, as did Magdalene, Mary Magdalene. She bore no Samuel, as did Hannah. She judged no nation, as and she married no Abraham. She placed no Moses in the ark in the bulrushes of the Nile River. She owned no dowry. She was just a servant. Ladies and gentlemen, three cheers for the servants. Three cheers for those Shunammite women who get no attention, who wear no crown, for those Barzillais who hold no scepter and wear no royal robe, but they just keep on serving God. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying some of you folks that go to Hiles Anderson College, while you are here, you better get outside the classroom for a while and get in some of these people's fellowship at First Baptist Church who know the way of God, who've walked with God all these years, and find out what they know. I'm saying Jeremiah said he had something on his glasses. That shows I'm a real man. Real men do not wipe their glasses with handkerchiefs. They wipe their glasses with ties. Okay, if you don't believe that, then what's it for? Would somebody tell me what that's for? I'm simply saying that Jeremiah said, I'm going to go talk to the great men. Who are the great men? I'm going to talk to those who've known the way of the Lord. Didn't say those have money in the bank. Didn't say those have jewels in coffers. Didn't say those that have subjects beneath them. It said, I'll talk to great men. Ladies and gentlemen, in this room this morning, some of the greatest people in the whole world sit right here, and some of you kids never take time even go to them and talk to them at all. Jeremiah said, I will get me to the great men and will speak unto them. Now, wait a minute. You say, but wait a minute, Brother Hiles. There are some other men in the Bible called great, other people beside the Barzillais and the Shunammite women. Oh, yes. For example, one of those men is Moses. Moses was called great. But now, why was he called great? When Moses died, God said, Moses is dead. But there are two words between Moses and is. Moses, my leader, is dead? No, sir. Moses, my sea partner, is dead? No, sir. Moses, my manna caller, is dead? No, sir. Moses, my liberator, is dead? No, sir. Moses, my George Washington, is dead? No, sir. Moses, my hero, is dead? No, sir. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses was not great because he parted the waters of the Red Sea. Moses was not great because he led 3.5 million Jews 40 years in the wilderness. Moses was not great because he got the manna from heaven. Moses was great because Moses said, I am going to be a servant. In Matthew 22:26, Jesus describes greatness when he says the servant is the greatest of all. The servant is the greatest of all. It just well may be that the greatest person in this room today is known by very few people. The servant is greatest of all. Let me share something with you this morning. Let me, on this 35th anniversary of my first sermon behind this pulpit, when I preached that morning on a Bible adoption, I'll never forget it, and that night I preached on redigging the wells, Isaac, redigging the wells. Let me tell you some this morning of the great people who've molded my life. The people to whom I've gone in my life, and I'm not a great man, but I have been blessed of God in a wonderful, wonderful way. Let me share with you this morning some of the great people that have molded my life to whom I went for counsel and advice. Oh, yes. You're going to think I'll talk about John Rice, but not this morning. Or the Lee Robertsons, or the Bob Jones Seniors, or the R.G. Lees, or the Lester Roloffs, or the G.B. Vicks, or the J.C. Sizemores. That's what you expect me to say. For these are men of renown and success who contributed mightily to my ministry. But no, that's not the great ones I want to talk about this morning. You see, they came into my life later. And by the way, we all can't get to them. Everybody can't get to Brother Hiles. Everybody can't get to Dr. Evans. And so when God speaks about the great men, he's talking about a Wendell Evans, but that's not all he's talking about. And by the way, Wendell Evans is not a great man because he's president of Howells Anderson College. Wendell Evans, if you want to see his greatness, you come to our meeting on Saturday morning when he and I meet, and he says, preacher, whatever you want. You come when as he comes, not as the president of a great college, but he comes as a servant of the pastor of the church. And if you want to see the greatness of these men on the platform, you won't see the greatness as he heads the teaches in our college, and as he is principal of our grade school, and he heads our Bible club ministry and other ministries, and as he heads the bus ministry, and as he heads the rescue mission, and as he heads the choir, and as he is in charge of, by the way, he probably has the job that's more near greatness than anybody on this staff. He comforts the sick. I'm simply saying, these men are not great because they're leaders. They're great because they're servants. You Howells Anderson College young preacher boys, let me tell you something. You want to get out of here. You say, I want my people. I want my own people. What you ought to say is, I want some people somewhere, have somebody who will give their lives for them. Now, can I say this sincerely? The joy of my life has not been leading you, but serving you. Now let me share with you the great men. This name means nothing to you, except to my sister. His name is Dad Coulter. Who in the world was Dad Coulter? He was an old grandfather who lived across the street from us when I was a 11-year-old boy. Dad Coulter was a wise old man. Sat on the front porch of a little shack in a little neighborhood of the ghettos of southwest Dallas. Had a radio, and he's always listening to ball games. And I'd go over there as a little boy and sit there and listen. We didn't have radios. Well, we did, but it had earphones, and my sister always got it. That's one reason I've hated her all these years. But Dad Coulter sat there on the front porch, and I would talk to him by the hour. And if some of you little fellows that spits could run around with some of these dope peddlers and cigarette smokers and college rebels and high school rebels and get some of these great people who've lived a lifetime and known the ways of God, you might amount to something someday. Jeremiah didn't say, I sought the big shots. I sought the great men and talked with them, for they have known the ways of the Lord. That's what greatness is, serving somebody in the will of God. You don't know this name, Elmer Tamke. Doesn't mean a thing to you. Elmer Tamke was a teacher and a coach at Bowd Story Junior High School. Elmer Tamke knew that I was a boy whose daddy had left us. Elmer Tamke knew that I was poor. Elmer Tamke coached me. But he took a personal interest with me. A great man. And by the way, to Dad Coulter, if you love this preacher, you owe Dad Coulter a debt. And you owe Elmer Tamke a debt. A black man. I don't know his name. He delivered for Mack Truck Company when I was working at Dallas Railway and Terminal Company, Transit Company. Every day at noon, he'd come in and he and I would eat lunch together. We would have a prayer meeting together. Every day, he'd pray with me. One day he came in, he was crying, tears rolling down his old black cheeks. And I said, what is it? And I don't know his name. He said, Mr. Jack. He said, Dr. George W. Truett has just died. I did not know what he said. I just heard he died. He said, Dr. Truett loved us black people. And Dr. Truett was a great preacher, pastors the largest church in the world. He said, Mr. Jack, he said, God just told me you're going to take his place. I never thought about someday pastoring the largest church in America. That old black man. Jeremiah said, I sought the great men to talk to the great men, for they have known the way of the Lord. You're not great because you got a lot of money in the bank. You're not great because you got a PhD. You're not great because you drive a Rolls Royce car. You're not great because you can write big checks. You're not great because you have education. You're not great because you're a big shot. You're not great because you're a leader. You're not great because you're president. You're not great because you're a king. You're great when you are a servant and know the ways of the Lord. Jeremiah said, I sought the great man. Gustave Norling, retired missionary in his 90s, 92 years of age, last time I saw him. Lived outside Marshall, Texas, near Wascom, Texas, between Marshall, Texas and Freeport, Louisiana. Thursday afternoons, I'd go out and spend 2 hours with Gustave Norling. I was just a student in college, young pastor for some of those months. Every Thursday afternoon, I'd go out there and talk to Gustave Norling. I'd just listen to him talk. Gustave Norling never pastored a great church. He was never a great denominational leader. He was never president of a college. He was just a servant. And I sought out the great man. And I want to say this morning, to whatever degree of success I've arrived, I owe it to men like that black man. I owe it to Elmer Tamke. I owe it to Gustave Norling and others. Dad Coulter, Mother Pollard. You remember Mother Pollard, dear old saint of God in our church where I was growing up. On her deathbed for a long time, an invalid. We'd go to her house and she'd sing to us and sing with us and teach us, the great people. And there was Proctor Boyd, my Sunday school teacher, and Uncle Roy, my uncle, with whom I talked about the Bible when I was a boy. You know, some of you young people ought to get out of your gangs for a while. Go see your grandmother and let her talk to you for a while. Go see Grandpa. Let him teach you a few things. Leave your little rebel punks for a while and get with the great people, and maybe someday you can amount to something for God and for good. I sought the great people. I sought the great people. And there was Tommy and Faye Ford. Irish Shunammite woman and her husband of our first little church. And there was Wood Armstrong, my first deacon at a little country church. And there was Mr. Roper. Mr. Roper used to sit. He was custodian in our church in Henderson, Texas, little church. He used to sit there on a pew, look at me, and we'd talk a while. I was just a kid preacher in my early 20s. Mr. Roper was in his 80s. He'd say, "Brother Jack, you won't stay with us very long." I said, "Oh, Mr. Roper, I plan to stay here the rest of my life." He said, "Well, I know you planned that, and I want you to think that." But he said, "One of these days," he said, "after I'm gone," he said, "you'll be preaching to a great crowd of people in some big city church somewhere." That's what I call great people. I wonder how many sermons I preached, and Mr. Roper knew I was wrong. I preached a whole sermon on Deborah instead of Deborah. One sermon on the woman in the well instead of the woman at the well. God bless those people. I think of Mrs. Waldrop and Mrs. Munden and Mr. McGeorge. I think of Mrs. Furr, Mrs. Trench. I think of Mr. Varner that ran the country store, Mrs. Varner. I think of Mr. and Mrs. Stotts that ran another country store and little service station. I think of the Pepper family. I think of those people that put up with me in the early days. Great people. I think of James W. Moore, the old preacher I tell you about often, with whom I talked and whom I pastored in his last days of his life, and who died telling me to keep preaching it. I think of Troy Jackson, my RA. That was a boys group, like our boys battalion. My leader in the RAs, who took time to take care of a poor little boy. All over this room this morning. How fortunate you are. You high school students, how fortunate you are. You college students, how fortunate. All over this room today are great people. Sometimes I get a little sicker by lining up around us preachers wanting our autographs and their Bibles. Won't you line up around somebody like Mrs. Snyder over here? Won't you line up and get her signature? Been in this church how many years? How many? 51 years. Teaching a Sunday school class how long? Teaching a Sunday school class 51 years in the established church of heaven. Get around people like that. Get out of your gang for a while. Get out of your clique for a while. They're great people here, could make great men of God out of you preacher boys if you do what Jeremiah did. I sought the great men and talked to them, those who had known the way of the Lord. You're all over this building. They sit in the choir. They're on bus routes. They sit on the deacon board. They teach in the classroom. They sit in the rest homes this morning. I prayed this morning for Alma Scales. Ask God to bless Mrs. Scales there in the rest home and others. But you haven't got time for them. You're too busy. Rah, rah, rah. 15 for team. Hot dog. Play, play, play. Go to the next party. Go to the next game. Go to the next activity. Why don't you take some time to go to these people who serve God for a lifetime and walk with God for a lifetime? And while they're here, glean from them what they know. Have enough sense that Jeremiah had. Seek out the great men. Talk to them. Those who've known the way of the Lord. They may not be as attractive as others. They're not as young as others. They're not as strong as others. Let me show you a few of them. 35 years ago, a frightened young man came to this pulpit. 35 years ago, this August 30th, he became pastor of this church. Let me show you the people. Most of them who were here then have gone on to heaven now. I think of so many, Verdi Fields, Blandford Duff, Harley Dunsworth, Brother Tudor. I think of all those deacons on the deacon board who served with me, Ed Roush and others. But thank God there's still some left who were here when I came 35 years ago. How many of you folks still here? You members of this church 35 years ago. Would you stand, please? Just remain standing for a moment. Now, while they're standing, let me tell some of you kids, they're not as pretty as you're accustomed to. They're not as strong as they once were. But the white hair you see, under that white hair, there's a life of walking with God. In God's name, seek them out. We may slobber while we talk. We may waddle while we walk. We may be stubborn while we balk. How about that for a 3-point outline? Now, while you're standing, everybody 65 or over, would you mind standing, please? None of you ladies are, but the rest of you stand. All you 65 or over, would you stand, please? I'm looking right now at some of the greatest people in the world. I just glanced over here and saw Brother Mitzica. For years, ran a successful business in Chicago. All these people, I mentioned Mrs. Snyder a while ago, these people in the choir, and all of these people whose hairs turned white or turned loose, one or the other. I'm simply saying, these are some great people. But you're too busy with your parties, young people. You Howells Henderson College students are too busy trying to learn the big shots. You gather around the Lee Robertsons, and you ought to. And you gather around the Tom Malones, and you should. But don't miss the people who are here now who serve God without attention, without praise often, without honor much. They stood with the stuff and stayed with the preacher and helped build this work. Don't forget them while you're here. Get to know the great people. Thank you very much. God also tells us with whom we should not run. He tells us with whom we're not to speak. He says, don't run with the unbelievers, covetous, criticizers, gossips, drunkards, lazy people, worldly people, ungodly people, scornful people, but the great people. Listen to this. You will be tomorrow what your friends are today. Hear me again. You will be tomorrow what your friends are today. College students, there's some people in Howells Anderson College we haven't found out about yet. There's some people shouldn't be out there. Don't run with them. You live in the dorm with them. We don't. You know what they're like. We don't. Don't run with them. Seek out great men. Hammond Baptist High School students and other high schools, they're students at Hammond Baptist High School we've not found out about yet. We will someday, but we haven't yet. You know who they are. You know who the rebels are. Seek out the wise people. Seek out the great people. But don't run with that crowd. Ladies in the church, you know who the gossips are. Seek out the great people. Men of the church, you know who the critics are. You know who the slanderers are. Seek out the great people. Couples, you know what couples are: critics, worldly, careless. You know what they are. Seek out the great people. For you will be tomorrow what your friends are today. How privileged we are to be a part of this great church. I'm not talking about because we have thousands in Sunday school. I'm not talking about that. This church is not great because it's big. This church is not great because we have, takes $15 million a year to operate all of our ministries. It's not great because we have to have $40,000 every day of our life. It's not great because of that. It's not great because of this massive auditorium. This church is great because she's filled with great people. Amen. Jeremiah said, I will get me unto the great man and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord. Our Heavenly Father,